Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Matt, and I'm an alcoholic. For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. They are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. We also respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open Big Book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step 11. Please welcome our speaker tonight, and that's Debbie. And she'll be up here in just a moment after I get through a couple of readings. The readings are going to start, let's see, I'll tell you in a sec. Readings are going to start on page 85, and feel free to follow along if you like. First reading, step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And now I'll ask Abby to come up.
Okay. All right. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Debbie.
Hey, Debbie.
And I'm just standing where they tell me to stand and reading what they tell me to read, and I'm here to share my experience, strength, and hope on step 11. And it's kind of hard to jump in into step 11, especially since I'm pretty sure there's quite a few newcomers in here. So I'll just tell you a little bit. I'm a member of this home group. Simple Actions is my home group. I have a sponsor, and I have the privilege of sponsoring women. And I have an astigmatism, and it'll be just like I'm drinking, and I'll go cross-eyed if that thing is up that high. That was one of the ways I knew when I was too drunk. It's like, okay, which eye do I cover? Because there's two of everything when I was driving, because I always drove wherever I was going when I was drunk, because I would throw up in your car if you chose to let me drive your car. So step 11 I will get to, but my heart is pounding right now. I know people in the front row. I'm not usually a front row girl, so I'm a little bit disoriented up here. And for some reason, I have not been able to hear out of this ear for about 10 days, so I feel like I'm shouting, and I always hear my head and my voice in my head, and now I really hear my voice in my head. So anyway, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. I love this step today. And again, if you're new, I will tell you it took me months to even think about this. Well, obviously, it takes you 10 steps to even think about this. I do pray before I speak, and I pray for inspiration that I be a channel, and that all comes from this. But I'll share one of the first prayers they taught me, because they taught me how to pray here, because I was not a prayer, you know, God, get me out of this one and I'll never do it again, was about the only prayer I knew before I came here. And so I remember, I think I was about 9 months sober, because I got through step nine. I was working on step nine around 9 months, and also when the desire to drink left me, if that's anybody's interested in the desire leaving, that's usually for me, my experience is when we start to get a lot of relief from that, my experience anyway. So anyway, this is, I've been sober a while. October 24th, 1982 is my sobriety date. So I'm going to date myself, because when they told me I had to pray, you know, besides the God help me, I'm a drunk, that was my favorite prayer. And it covers everything, really. It's pretty much this prayer here, except I'm asking for some guidance. But I remember sitting, I'll date myself, I sat on the waterbed. And so I sat on the edge of the waterbed, and I said, be still and know that I'm God. And I got up and I walked away. And that was as long as I could pray. That was as long as I could sit still. I'm a fidgeter. I have to move. I have to be going. So meditation did not come easy for me. My husband to this day says I'm like a hummingbird in a shoebox. When it snows bad and he knows I'm going to be in the house for a while, he gets concerned, even today. But anyway, so I learned how to pray and I learned how to meditate. And what I knew I had to speak tonight, and I was thinking about this step 11, and really what came to me is, this is all the stuff I worried about when I was making the decision back in 3. And you hear it a lot in newcomers and beginners meetings, says, oh, what does that mean? What's God's will for me? And all that back in step 3. And so this is where it happens. All I'm doing is 3 is saying, okay, 1's the problem, 2's the solution, 3 is how I get to that solution. And by doing 4 through 9 is what brought, gets those blockages away from me, so that there is a higher power in my life. I am not a religious person at all. I don't care what you call your higher power. I don't recommend the doorknob thing, but they do talk about that a lot in AA. You don't care if it's the doorknob. For me, it was the group for a long time, because there's people sitting beside me in these rooms that should be dead. They should be dead. I should be dead. I mean, I put myself in harm's way over and over again, and yet here I am walking the face of the earth. So I won't get into a long drunkalogue, but I do think you need to work the first 9 steps before you get to this. And then 11, I love step 11. For my least used step over the period of my sobriety is step 10. I do it better today, but for a very long time, it's very hard for me to make immediate amends, because I got to stew about it a while. I got to know I'm right and you're wrong. I got to, you know, just do the alcoholic crazy thinking that I do and relive that situation over and over again. And I used to have to sleep on it before I could even think about maybe there's another way. Maybe I need to look at this in an entirely different attitude. And so what step 11 is just reviewing your day. It's the same questions, basically, that is being asked of me in step 10. You know, except in step 10, when I'm resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid, I'm supposed to do something about that. You know, I'm supposed to ask God to remove it and make it amends and talk to somebody and turn my thoughts to others. And like I said, that took me a long time to be able to do that. So if you're new and you can't do that, it's okay. This is a practice. I'm not real good at this all the time. And so step 11, I'll get to in a minute my favorite part of it, but this, when we retire at night, because I'm pretty current with a step 10, I don't have a lot of stuff that I got to carry over to the next day, because I've learned when I got to carry it over to the next day, I got to carry it over into the next day. You know, it's like, okay, I got to go reach these people again. I got to go relive that again, and instead of just saying, you know, I was wrong, or stopping the behavior. Or the biggest lesson I learned in these rooms is just zip it. This is a big troublemaker right here. And so when I can just be quiet and hopefully be still, which we'll talk about in a little bit, a lot of problems just magically disappear. And so and when I retire at night now, I've done it various different ways. Again, this is a practice. It's still a practice for me. The way I do it currently is in my head. I don't have a pen and paper. I've done it that way. I think there's benefits for it. I think self-examination is beneficial any way you do it. And so whatever works for you is a good way to do it. And so, you know, where was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? And some days there's a lot of those. And so that because if I have taken care of it with step 10, I don't always go over that again in this. I'll go, it was a pretty good day. Thanks for letting me make that amends to my coworker or whatever it was. Do I owe an apology? Should I discuss something? And that's a biggie for me. I do have, I don't rely on myself to think I know what God's will is for me all the time. If I'm having an issue, I do like to discuss it with one of my, either my sponsor, who I sometimes have trouble reaching because she is not a mobile person. She is a kitchen wall phone person. And if she ain't in her kitchen, I ain't talking to her. And that's not a bad thing all the time, because that means I have to talk to somebody else. And I have to get out of myself to do that. So I do like to run my, you know, magnificent inspirations by somebody. And what do you think I should be doing here? You know, how do you see this? You know, this one, were you kind and loving towards all? To all? Really? I can be kind and loving sometimes to people I love, much less the other ones, you know. So it is a whole different way of life for me. That's what this whole program is about, is a design for living that I didn't bring to the table when I came in here. And so what could I have done better? I don't like that question. I did. That's probably where I spend most of my time in my review now, is what could I have done better? You know, and I've shared on this before about was I thinking of myself most of the time. My percentages some days are getting better. And I tell you what helps a lot with that is sponsorship, because if you're sponsoring people, you are guaranteed to be thinking about others at least part of your day, because they're going to be interacting with you. And so I do try and do that. I think about myself a lot still to this day, but I don't, it's not as much as it used to be. And I love this part, was I thinking of what I could do for others and what we could pack into the stream of life. And so it did kind of throw me off tonight, because I truly do pray for inspiration today, which we'll talk about in the future. But so I just kind of sit there now and wait for my inspiration. So tonight I'm like, okay, what do I do? And then it got changed, and then it got changed a little bit. It's like, okay, what do I do? And so I just go to the bathroom and pray, because that's my answer today. It's like, just show me what I need to be doing. So I think what we're going to do, because now we get to make the decisions, I think what we're going to do is Matt's going to call on a couple of people to come share about these two paragraphs, and then we'll read some more paragraphs about what we do during the day, because this is what we do at night. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, we've got a few more readings later on, but from what we've gone on so far, I'd like to hear from maybe one or two people. BJ, do you want to come up and share something?
My name's BJ. I'm an alcoholic.
BJ.
Hey, this is one of my favorite steps. I'm a true believer that the steps should be done in order, but the caveat to that from my experience is I've found you can do 10, 11, or 12 anytime, like one day sober. And I'm blessed with really good sponsorship. I think in my first couple weeks I was sober, my sponsor had me start reading these pages that we're reading tonight, pages 86 to 88. And she didn't tell me why or how or what. She just said, I suggest that after you wake up, you read these pages. And at that point, I was still hurting from my last drunk and willing to go to any length, so I started doing that. And there's some really specific instructions in here. I know we haven't read through all of it yet, but I was taught that anywhere it says ask in the big book, there's a prayer there. So I went through and I circled wherever it said ask, and I'll keep it simple. This is how I do my 11th step. I kind of do different parts of it throughout the day, but still every morning for about 4 years now, I've read these pages first thing. And the first prayer in step 11 is we ask God to direct our thinking. So for me, that's literally the first thing I do when I wake up. Sometimes before I even open my eyes, I need to do something because I'm capable of screwing up my life between the bed and the bathroom, I swear. So before I get out of bed, I say, God, please direct my thinking. Divorce my thoughts from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. Can hurt. And if I'm smart, I'll say that a few times throughout the day. Some trouble spots for me are if there's an opportunity for me to make myself look good, I have to say this prayer. For example, work meetings. If I have a meeting at work that's really important, there's a good chance without any kind of intervention, my motives are going to be, what can I get out of this? How can I look good to my boss? How can I blow everybody away? You know, me. Not necessarily the message of the company. So going into a work meeting, I say the prayer again. You know, just ask my higher power to direct my thinking and what can I contribute that's going to help this? Not me, but the situation. The second prayer is we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or a decision. That's important for when I'm torn, and I'm torn a lot. Like, I'll just say real quick, the biggest thing about step 11 is, for me, is pause. Because left to my own devices, I am the most impulsive person on earth. Like, I just want to react all the time. I'm not patient. I think I know the right reaction, and I'm very reactive. I'm emotionally natured. I'm hypersensitive, and I want to make myself feel better immediately. That's why I drank. But it turns out the best thing that I can do if I have any kind of disturbance is to not react. And step 11 teaches me to get right first before I act and even ask for help. And it's crazy how well it works. So for the inspiration prayer, I can't really think of a good example right now, but if I have a big decision to make, I'll say this prayer. God, give me an intuitive thought or a decision. I also, like Debbie said, a lot of times that involves me talking to another alcoholic, preferably my sponsor. She is pretty reachable, and sometimes she'll say, make a pros and cons list. If it's like me, if it's a big decision, like taking a new job or moving or something like that, she says, why don't you write down pros and cons? And in my mind, that is my higher power giving me inspiration, because she is serving as that channel. And then later on the next page, it says, this one's huge for me, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. On a good day, I'm agitated or doubtful about 500 times. I wish you were kidding. Work generates, we were talking about step 10, but also the nightly review. Work for me generates a lot of inventory. There are so many times throughout the day where somebody says something that makes me defensive, or I'm afraid of how I look or whatever. And I have to pause and literally say, please give me the correct thought or action. And sometimes the best I got is to just say or do nothing. Sometimes I literally have to go to the bathroom and remove myself from a situation if I feel like I'm going to pop off or do something impulsive. And for me, that's step 11. And this is nothing that I would ever have come up with on my own. And one of the things I love the most about AA is, I thought I came here to stop drinking, but this is such a wonderful design for living. This literally gives me the freedom to walk through anything that can come up in life. And So there's some parts in here about, I like how it addresses, we're quick to see where religious people are right and we make use of what they offer. Man, when I got here, I hated religious people. I thought they were all hypocrites. You know, you go to church on Sunday, but what are you doing the other 6 days in the week? But that's not what it says. It doesn't say judge religious people when they don't color in the lines. It says, look at what they're doing right. Better men than us are using prayer constantly. I didn't believe in prayer when I got here. I do it now. It helps. I'm sober. I, in general, am happy, joyous, and free. And it's pretty much as simple as that. So I think that's all I have to share. Thanks for letting me share.
Before we move on, I'd like to call one more person. Leah, would you like to come up?
I don't do public speaking well. My name is Aaliyah and I'm an alcoholic. I agree with everything my sponsorship line just said. Step 11 is important for me. I didn't understand the power of step 11 until I became a vessel of self-will run riot, meaning I basically took control of my life again. There is no God, I am God type thing, except that I'm still sober. And I didn't want to look at how I was affecting other people. I didn't want to look at how I was reacting emotionally, letting other things spill into the next day, and the next day, and the next day, which is what step 11 is to me. I'm fairly good with step 10. I can do on the spot stuff, where maybe I was a bit too brash. I can say, you know, I was wrong. You know, I can do that. It's the other stuff, the stuff that BJ just highlighted, things at work. Work causes me constant tension. I don't like how you talk to me. I don't like how you look down upon me. I really don't like taking orders. I think my ideas are the best. Financial insecurities. I practically put my God in a box again. You take care of my alcoholism. I'll practice steps 1 through 10 and 12 periodically. And we just left 12 alone. I mean, 11 alone. So I wasn't meditating because I couldn't sit still enough. I was agitated. Got to be on the move all the time. Keep myself busy on other things instead of focusing on what's really going on the inside. And prayer, I didn't have time for God. Like I said, I climbed back on the throne of judgment. And it's all your fault. Everything is, and I stopped looking within. And it caused a lot of chaos. became rather homicidal. And when I was asked to look at this again at when I retire at night and really review my day, those nagging things of, I have an example. Last week, I made a request that I see a female provider, and I was told that it would be a couple of weeks until I see a female provider, so I had to settle for a male provider. And I really didn't like how that medical appointment turned out. And so automatically, I felt like, I didn't like the way he talked to me. I felt like I wasn't being listened to. And so I carried that into the next day because I didn't want to look at it. I thought it was, you know, fine. I couldn't get a female provider. I needed to be at that appointment right then and then. It's fine. It's okay. It wasn't okay. Lo and behold, a whole week went past. I get into it with my roommate and give him a silent treatment. I start bullying him, self-seeking. I start withdrawing. I'm bullying him. I tell him he doesn't listen to me. You're not listening to me. You know, I'm like, whoa, where is that coming from? I mean, really bullied him for at least 4 days until I got out of myself enough to try to put it on paper. I was able to make amends yesterday. Because if I hold this stuff in my head, I rationalize it. And it makes sense to me because I think I'm really smart, you know, and my ideas are the best ideas. And so I look at it and see it for what it is. I was resentful, but I wasn't resentful at him. I was resentful for something that happened a week ago. I was very selfish in my reaction towards him because I wanted to control his thoughts and his ideas. I was playing God. I was dishonest. I deluded myself into thinking, you know, he wasn't listening to me. Even though the situation at hand, he was not listening to me, however, comma, it really wasn't that serious for me to bully this man, you know. And I'm afraid that I'm not being listened to, you know, and I'm never going to be listened to, you know. So I made my amends. I discussed it with other people, especially when it was locked in my head because I need someone to co-sign my shit. I like when I get co-signed, you know. It doesn't look good when it's on paper, you can't co-sign it anymore because the truth comes out. You know, that's one thing about these inventories here. You know, there ain't no more co-signing. You see you for who you really are. But my favorite part about the 11th step is where we kind of loving toward all. Aside from this situation, in step 9, I learned that, you know, being kind and loving, like putting aside what the other person may have done to you. But I need to learn how to be kind and loving towards myself. I've been so demeaning to myself. I belittle myself all the time. You know, I am my worst critic, even though I think so highly of myself sometimes. But I'm either the shit or shit. There's never an in-between, you know. And so when I do this inventory at night, because I have to put it on paper, because I just told you I'm a rationalizing, justifying, excuse-making person, I have to look at whether I am being loving and kind towards all, and I'm included in the all. Was I thinking about myself? I do the percentage thing too, because I still do. I'm very young in my sobriety, so I still do fancy myself a lot. But I do think of others a lot more. I surprise myself on that. And it's already been said, this is a practice, and I do have a habit of making self-deprecating remarks about myself. You know, you should have did this, or you could have did this better, or, you know. I say a lot of harmful things to myself mentally. But I was taught that this step is necessary so I won't react emotionally. And it doesn't spill into my next step. At least if I can see the truth about myself once I put it on paper, I have a solution for the next day. It's not haunting me as much. So things fall in place the next day. Because like BJ say, I can make very, very bad life decisions from the bed to the bathroom. My prayer in the morning is, how can I best serve thee? Thy will not mine be done. Because as soon as I wake up, it's all about me. The moment I open my eyes, I'm thinking of past resentments, self-deprecating statements towards myself, and that's all before I even turn off the alarm clock that's right next to my head. So I immediately hit my knees and go back into step 10 with that prayer and make my way to the bathroom, which is usually, I mean, I do it every morning. And the days that I don't do that, it's weird. And I'm really off. So I agree that this is definitely a way of living worth seeking. I'm relatively more even killed than I used to be. And it really is because of rooms like this and people like you. I haven't found it necessary to take a drink today. And that I'm grateful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just going to go through a couple more readings, and then we'll have Debbie come up again. We'll call in a few more people. So this next reading is going to come from page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest or self-seeking motives, Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be a hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. The next one is page 87, if you want to follow along. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no request for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. Also on page 87, if circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right and make use of what they offer. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works, it really does. And then one more reading is page 88. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is devoted entirely devoted to step 12. And I'm going to come back up, Debbie.
Okay. My heart's not pounding so much now. Still can't hear. Anyway, so this is my favorite part of step 11. Absolutely love my morning routine for step 11. And it has changed over the years. So, again, for people who are new, just get something that works, even if it's for a minute. That is progress in this world, you know. So I have done many different types of meditation. I don't know if it's important or not what types you do. I think as long as you're doing something that's important. I've meditated with the Buddhists. I have tried all different kinds of, I felt like every 5 years I needed to find some religion. I never did find one. I've tried various different things. And what I do today is pretty much what the black and white stuff in this book says, which is, duh, okay, but it takes me, I'm on the short bus for spirituality, just so you know who your speaker is up here. But I call my higher power God. I don't have a religious God. My God is kind of an energy, a force, a love, or whatever you want to call it. I was a hippie in the 70s, so now I'm a hippie in the 20s or whatever we're in here almost. So anyway, So my current practice is I get up out of bed, I go to the bathroom, I sit in my chair, and I meditate. And, you know, there was a lot of rules for that that I had to break because I knew I had to be sitting in the lotus pose with, the whole Eastern. Yeah. I don't do that. I sit in my chair and I meditate for 20 minutes, and I do it every morning. Now, I can find a whole lot of reasons not to do that, but I do it every morning. I can tell you it is my favorite part of my day. And the Step 10 Promises, where it says, you know, we reach a position of neutrality and we're safe and protected, that is how I feel when I meditate. I feel safe and protected. It is not quiet town up here ever, but it's quieter because I haven't gotten myself out, as has been said. I used to, as soon as I opened my eyes, I just said the little prayer, direct my thinking and all that because I knew I was getting up. Now I am, one thing I've done, this book gave me the liberty to put the words into what does it mean to me? You know, the third step prayer, when it's talking about that, it says, the words aren't, as long as I'm getting this message across. So I've done the, as was said, I have read pages 84 through 88 for years at a time, but today I don't get the book out, I don't read it because I know it, and I pray it, and I, all the things that say we ask, I say that in a prayer, and I've also changed some of the wording to what it means to me. And I've made it more positive. I pray that I be a channel of his love and light and grace, and that I be filled with compassion and love and honesty instead of all the negatives that I'm wanting removed. Because trust me, I know about the negatives and wanting them removed, but I have to also trust God that he's done that maybe. And what do you put it, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. So what do I want in there if I'm not hating and selfish and dishonest and afraid anymore? And so, I truly do pray for inspiration, and it is amazing to me how my life has changed when I quit juggling the balls and let God have the balls. And so I don't have a lot of plans in my day today. You know, I went and heard a speaker yesterday that I just happened to sponsor, and we went to dinner, and I had a pajama party at her house last night. It's like, okay, sure, okay, God. You know, it's a little crazy to me, but okay, if that's what you want me to do. I just don't have to plan the day today. I love the fact books and prayers kind of come to me. It used to be, you know, when it's talking about what we do to try and treat our alcoholism, I was a Barnes & Noble self-help guru. I got stacks and stacks of those books, and I had to have it as soon as I read something, put that down, go get the next book. And so what I do today, I still love inspirational books. It is where I get a lot of my guidance because I have been sober for a while. There's not a whole lot of people. Anyway, so I get a lot of guidance from books, and I don't have to go find that book anymore. They appear to me. I have people give me a book. This really helped me, or they'll tell me about a website. This really helped me, and I'll go there. And I keep an open mind about this stuff, and it's amazing what can come into this mind of mine. And so what during that 20 minutes, nothing magical happens. Although I've had some, I shared on Step 11 once and talked about if you like doing drugs, you're gonna like Step 11, because I have had some electrifying experiences with Step 11. And I had a little girl come up afterwards and said, I'm gonna go start trying Step 11 because she liked doing drugs. It's like, I don't care, whatever is gonna work for you. But I've had some major spiritual experiences in prayer and meditation. And it's personal. See, that's the other thing about this step. I want to be spiritual, and I want to steal your spirituality because I'm a thief. I do not want to have to meditate for 20 minutes every day to get some kind of inspiration. I just want to steal yours. Give me yours. I like what you've got. Give me what you've got. It does not, in my experience, it does not work that way. And so as I'm being quiet for 20 minutes, I'll have a thought that's not coming from Debbie. And it's like, okay. And sometimes I remember them. Sometimes I don't. I don't feel the need to have to write it down like I used to have to keep score of everything. And okay, this is what God's telling me, and got to keep track of all this. I just sit and be quiet, and inspirations will come. I really rely on that. Of course, you can already guess what the hardest part for me is the pause. When I'm agitated or doubtful, that's still very hard for me. I've gone through the post-it note thing where pause, you know, I've got prayers on my cubicle at work. I've got all this stuff to the things that were supposed to remind me of what I'm supposed to do. And again, what I've learned in this program and being transformed by these steps is just zip it. I have physically gotten up and left a room because I know I'm about to get in big trouble if I don't physically get up and leave the room. I like to talk about what's going on in my life. Why do I keep doing this? Other than helping others, why do I keep doing this? And I keep doing this because my life is still changing. So last week, I'm at work, and my boss calls me, and she said, "Do you have a minute?" And it wasn't like, oh my God, panic. It's like, yeah. She said, "Can you come over?" I said, "Sure." And so I said a little prayer as I was walking down the hall, and I did not feel like I'm going to get fired. Now, 4 years ago, if y'all know, people that know me know that I was in that hallway almost about to get fired, given the ultimatum of, you know, you're either going to change your attitude or you're going to look for another job. And I didn't have that fear last week. And the funniest thing is that she says, "You're my sound mind and reasoning," or something. And I'm like, what the f-? Okay. 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 And so she wanted my opinion on something about some interpersonal relationships that are going on at work. And that just blew my mind, because it's like, you're asking me, you know, okay, all right. And that is nothing that I did. That is, well, it's transformation. You know, we do say that God does the heavy lifting in 6 and 7, and I truly believe that, but it's not that we're not doing things. We are given an opportunity to react in a different way. And am I going to take that opportunity to react in a different way? Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. And usually I would love to say, what's that thing about a smart man learns from his own mistakes and a wise man learns from the mistakes of others? I am not a wise man. I always learn from my own mistakes. But anyway, so I am amazed before I am halfway through about what these steps can do for me. And I used to think I have to do exactly what it says. I have to pause and ask for the right thought or action or whatever it is. And I just could never do it. That's too much. So I would just pause and say, what do you want me to do? Because I just had to keep my mind busy. And often it was go to the bathroom and pray. And that's what I would do. I've prayed in cars. I've prayed in bathrooms. I am one of those, again, that it talks about in step 3, better to meet God alone than with someone who might be not understand. And so, I've said prayers with sponsees. I've said prayers in huge groups. But I think that's why I like the meditation in the morning, as I really feel like I have the attention and I am given the attention. And one thing, I don't know if this fits in step 11, but it really kind of changed my life when I heard it. One of my favorite AA speakers, female speakers, was at the podium one time. It was at like a big book convention or something for the weekend. I don't remember what she was talking about, but I remember she said, "I love God, don't you?" And I'm like, that is the craziest thing I have ever heard. What are you even talking about? And what do those words mean to me? And so it is a relationship for me that I feel like I am participating in. I'm not just asking God to fix this. I'm sorry I was mean to my husband. Don't let me do that again. I'm sorry I cussed the girl out at work. Don't let me do that again. I don't have a list of demands for God anymore. I just bring me to Him. And then He can transform me. And that all sounds a little hokey, and I don't like getting too far out there on this step, but I've been doing this for a while, and so that's where it's taken me. But again, my first prayer, God help me, I'm a drunk, worked just as well as all the hokiness that I'm doing now. I will share this for the newcomer. So when I first came around and they told me I was gonna have to pray, I thought that was ridiculous. What does that got to do with anything? And so I would get on my knees and I would say, God, help me not take a drink today. I feel like a phony. I don't know who's there. I'm looking at a wall, but they're telling me to do this. And I had been beaten to a state of reasonableness, so I was doing it. And then I got on my knees and I said, thank you for not letting me take a drink today. And I did that as well as with a sponsor in a home group and working the steps out of this book. Until I got, again, like I said, probably about 9 months, and still, I didn't even put, to me, the steps are just kind of a continuum today. It's hard to talk about one and not talk about others, but then they seemed very distinct and very different, and I didn't see how they were connected. But anyway, so I didn't do a lot of changing of people, places, or things when I got sober. I was a bartender. I was married to the Budweiser beer truck driver. We had a boat, and we went out on that boat every weekend, and I used to get drunk every weekend with them, but then I was the designated boat driver because I'm sober. And so we had gone to a restaurant, and I was the only sober one out of four or five people, and I'm doing this AA thing, and I really still want to drink. The desire had not left me yet. And I remember saying, I'm done. And I ordered a drink, and I got up, and I went to the bathroom, and I said, "Dear God, please don't let me take that drink, because I know exactly what that drink is gonna do." And I went back to that table, and I did not drink that drink. And I didn't let anybody else at that table drink that drink, because that was my drink, and I'm selfish. And I didn't take that drink. And so you don't know when things are happening, how monumental they are. I didn't know my last drink was going to be my last drink. I guarantee you I would have done that different. But anyway, we won't get into that now. But anyway, I didn't drink that drink. And I didn't know at that moment that pretty much that's when the desire to drink left me, because I asked him to remove it. You know, don't let me take that drink. And so it doesn't have to be complicated if we really just read the book and follow the simple suggestions to the best of our ability. That's all we need to do, and then the rest of it gets taken care of. Because I'll end with this. This whole thing is, it tells me lack of power is my dilemma. Of my own, I do not have the power to not take that first drink. When I do these steps, and especially when I get hooked up in step 11, I am hooked up to the power that is going to do all of that for me. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm going to call on someone else now. How about David? Let's see. Yeah.
My name is David Yulee, and I'm an alcoholic. Hey, Miss Debbie, I assure you, you were not speaking too loudly. Maybe fast, but not loudly. Anyway, Maddie, thanks for calling on me, man. Anybody that doesn't know me sitting in these rooms over here, I'll let you know the only reason why I do what we're talking about today. I don't do it because I came to Alcoholics Anonymous trying to get this spiritual thing going on. I don't pray every morning because it's cool for me. I don't pray. I don't take my inventory every night because I want to wake up in the morning and go to work. I do it because it keeps me sober. The only reason that I'm sober today is because I do these things on a daily basis. I try to do them on a daily basis. Without this spiritual experience, without taking the inventory, without the prayer and meditation, I would have destroyed myself and those around me years ago. And I never want to go back. I sponsor a lot of men, so I never forget what it's like early sobriety. Every time I get a guy that asks me to sponsor him and he's a little shaken up, I get a little reminder on what it's like, and I don't ever want to go back there. But anyway, the man that saved my behind and took me to these steps we were getting to here, and we were doing this reading, and we get to this part where it says, "When we retire at night," I'm like, "Does that mean every day?" He said, How often you go to sleep, you big dummy?" I'm like, "All right, understood." And so, you know, we go through these things, and it says we constructively review our day, you know. And I've been sober just under 6 years, and I've probably taken an inventory, let's see, 6 times 365. That's just under 2,200 days I've almost been sober. And I've probably taken an inventory every night at least 2,100 times. There's a couple days here and there over the course of the last 6 years. But I do it. I do it because, just like Aaliyah said, when I don't do these things, I start taking the world back. And I'm not sensitive. I actually don't give a damn about people. It's because of this program and the relationship with God that I do care about people, that I can have little conversations. I'm not a conversationalist. I just don't care to talk to people. I don't care what you got to say. And therefore, I think that you don't care what I got to say. But because of this program, it's given me a new outlook. But anyway, like Leah was saying, you know, I failed to do these things for, you know, a couple days, a couple weeks. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling a certain kind of way. You know, people are looking at me wrong, and I really don't like you, and I really don't like you, and I really don't like you, and right. And all of a sudden, I can feel everything coming in. And it's not that I have ever been put in a position where I'm ready to drink again, but I absolutely am ready to grab people by their throat and let them know how I feel. So I sit down and I do this thing. I feel it right away when I'm starting to get a little set back, a little wound tight. And I sit down and I go through these things. You know, I go through the process. I constructively review my day. And I read that whole paragraph down. I had the privilege a couple weekends ago hearing one of my AA superheroes, Mr. Don M. from Louisville, Kentucky. And he's been sober for 37 years. And he says every day he reads page 86, 87, and 88. And I used to do that religiously for the first few years. And all of a sudden, I memorize the pages. I'm like, I don't have to do it anymore. But it's funny, because I've made about 50,000 boxes of macaroni and cheese, and I still to this day read the directions. I don't know why. I just do it. Maybe they're going to change something on me, and I'm going to screw up my macaroni and cheese. So when I heard Mr. Don M. talk about that repage 86, 87, 88, I'm like, you know what? That's what I've been failing to do, you know? So I went back to basics, and I started reading 86, 87, and 88. Even though I got it, I could write it down, but I could use punctuation and everything. Write it down. But that's not the point. The point is that I'm getting back to basics. So I do this. I do my inventory at night. And again, my friend Aaliyah and I are very similar in the fact that, you know, when I sit down to do my little meditation in the morning, as soon as I open my eyes, I'm like, oh man, it's 19 degrees, I'm going to freeze my ass off, or it's already 90, I'm going to sweat, and me, and what am I going to have for lunch, and man, I really hate that crow that's gawking up in the tree right above, I'm going to kill that sumbitch. I'm like, oh man, so I go use the bathroom, I go downstairs, I do what I gotta do, I pack my lunch, I let the dogs out. I sit down on that couch and I hit my knees and I do my little prayer. And then I go right into meditation. And about 50% of the time I can sit down in a very good meditation series for me is about 2 minutes. That's what I have. Some people will talk like 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I'm like, there ain't no way. I got 2 minutes. But anyway, so I sit down, you know, and I'm sitting there, and some mornings I'm sitting there and I shut it down. I close my eyes. And I got a little red dot right out there and I stare at that little red dot and I can just turn everything off. And then some mornings shut everything off, stare at that red dot. I'm like, bacon is delicious. I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to try it again. And I shut everything off and I stare at that red dot and I'm like, I forgot to put my Under Armour on. Damn. And I got to do this repeatedly. You know, some days are better than others. Some days it's easier to meditate than others. And I'll go through this whole series, you know, 5, 6, 7 times. And sometimes I can get 15, 30 seconds before I'm like, ooh, squirrel. And sometimes I can shut it off after a couple times. But it's the fact that I do these things that when I walk out of that door, being spiritually fit, having prayed, having attempted a meditation session, everything just flows. When I walk out of that house and I don't do my little series of things in the morning, my prayer, my meditation, I get out there and man, I tell you what, I can't drive fast enough to work. My coffee sucks. Yeah, it's too cold. My whole material, everything, every piece of lumber I have on the job is frozen solid and has to be broken apart with sledgehammers and I can't get anything done and my hands are going to be frozen. I can't. Life sucks. And I'm like, oh man. Got to pray. And so I take the tool belt off and I walk into the truck and I pray everywhere too. Porter John's, wherever, it don't matter. As soon as I realize that, something's wrong, I'll be like, all right, I walk away and I go do what I have to do, because I never want to relive those moments that I had coming into Alcoholics Anonymous under the lash of alcoholism. I never want to relive those moments. Anyway, Maddie, thanks for letting me come up here, man.
Thanks. That's about all the time we have, so I'm going to skip over here to the seventh tradition basket. All right. Seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their international intergroup, central office, local services, direct or district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, we may want to remember a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. Are there any AA-related announcements? Grant?
I'm Brad, I'm an alcoholic.
Grant!
My own group is this group, Simple Actions. We meet, obviously, on Monday nights at 7 o'clock. If you are looking for something to do on February the 18th, which is a few Mondays from now, not too far out, we have supper and a speaker. We do it about quarterly. So we have a little meal starting at 6 o'clock. If you can bring a dish, please do. If not, just bring yourself an appetite and one of the fellowship. And at 7 o'clock, we'll have a speaker, Neve K, coming from Richmond, Virginia, bringing some experience, strength, and hope. So if you have any questions about that, please come to the meeting, and we'll fill you in. Thanks.
Thanks, Grant.
Deborah, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Deborah.
If you're interested in reading the steps out of the 12 and 12, you can come to our new meeting on Wednesdays. Wednesday's at noon, it's a 12 and 12 meeting. 520 Meridian Avenue, that's parallel to Quincy Sand, the back of Sacred Heart Church. You don't even have to want to hear the steps if you're desperate. We love that.
Thanks. Anyone else? Okay. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. And the home group members, please raise your hands. All right, newcomers, is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety who'd like to welcome you?
My name's Stephanie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Stephanie.
I'm AJ. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, AJ.
I'm an
alcoholic. Hey, Tom. And there's literature available on the table over there. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you'd like to purchase anything. Sponsorship is in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have any questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available at this table after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come up and talk to me. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. In closing, let's thank Debbie and everyone who came up and shared tonight. And after we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which is going to be held at Plaza del Sol, which is down Colonial, right before the train tracks, right after you pass 21st Street. Would anyone like, can someone volunteer to read that reading on page 164, last two paragraphs? John?
Hi, I'm Johnny, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Johnny.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you. We will now close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer.
Thank you.
Father,
our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.